From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica. I'm the editor-in-chief, and I'm in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg. I'm the executive editor, and I'm in Somerville, Massachusetts.
In an upcoming article that we'll publish next week, Adina has observed some things from several universities about adding courses and degree programs in geospatial technology. Are these additions truly in sync with the number of job opportunities available, or is the drab economy dictating a new approach in college course offerings? We'll tackle that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
National security, cyber warfare, energy independence. These are the topics of the first Geo Huntsville Conference that will be produced by Directions Magazine this November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Formerly the Rocket City Geospatial Conference, this regional event will draw a large audience of senior technologists from the defense industry and the business community. Find more information at www.geohuntsville.com and join us this November.
We're at the time of the year when many college students are thinking about going back to school and will probably be there very shortly. And many people are thinking about education. It's just that time of year, August, September timeframe. I want to start off by reading something that Adina has observed, and she put it in her Ignite Education blog. And she said, the current economic downturn and the push for more career-focused learning have put students in the driver's seat. They are demanding shorter programs that can get them into real jobs faster. Hence, a two-year certificate or two-year associate's degree can be a shortcut to a good-paying job. So, Adina, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I think these are really interesting observations. I think it's, first of all, that we're in this very interesting time where there's a down economy. We're seeing a lot of online courses being offered. GIS still seems to be a hot topic, regardless of what's going to happen in defense budget cuts or cuts in state government. GIS is being looked on as the way to cut costs. Hence, there seems to be more jobs being offered. Hence, universities and two-year colleges are offering more courses, both on-site and online. And you pointed out there's lots of different courses being offered. So I'll put the question to you: what are we seeing? Why is this a trend that we're seeing?
Well, as much as we like to think about how jobs drive the economy, and if there are jobs that are going unfilled because people are not trained in those skills, then if you train yourself in those skills, then you can get a job. That's sort of one side of the story. The other side of the story, and I think people don't think of it this way, and that's that educational institutions, be they private, public, or nonprofit, are businesses. So they have to fill the seats, and they have to make a living under whichever guise they choose to be. And they are seeing there is money in this. And that's in part why we're seeing so many programs and so many different kinds of programs.
I totally agree with you. But that has not always been the case, I think, with universities. That I'm not sure they always looked at themselves as a business. But I think it's a great observation.
Well, and let me just point to the fact that if they didn't think of themselves as businesses and haven't had to think of themselves as businesses, this downturn in the economy means that they do. At Penn State University last year, the state cut funding to the university. If that doesn't make you think about your bottom line, nothing else will.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that trickles down to the two-year community colleges, which have been the place where you train the workforce for certain job skills that, as you said, get people into the workforce very, very quickly. And I think even they have been put under pressure to do more of that. You often see these two-year colleges going under these review programs. You know, how many people are replacing? Are we offering the right types of courses? Are these courses in demand in the local community? So, I mean, they have a real responsibility to the local. So in a geographic sense, their pressure is very microeconomic in many respects.
And they are getting slammed. Here in Boston, we have universities that are giving courses at midnight, one, because people are free to take them, they're not working or taking care of their kids, and two, because there is demand for them. And if you roll that a little bit forward, the reason that we just went through this review of for-profit colleges is in part because of the demand put on the community colleges who couldn't serve the populations, which then went to these for-profit institutions who then had limited success in getting them out the door with degrees and jobs. So everything's being squeezed is the long and short of it.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, after you just said that, whether there is this competition, two-year versus four-year colleges, and it puts a lot of pressure on the student themselves. Do I spend the time at a four-year college? Do I invest that money? Or can I get by, or can I get the same skill set at a two-year institution?
And there's a whole set of questions going on now within the education community and people who are looking at education as to whether that four-year traditional degree is worth the time and money and debt required to get it.
And there's been a huge articles this past week in the Wall Street Journal about the debt that students are taking on and how universities must do a better job of funding their students and the cost that the amount of cost it takes them to attract students and offer the types of grants and programs to get them to come. It's a really wild time in education, and there's lots of people asking the questions that you just raised. Let me ask another specific question. Do you think that there are trends in specific training programs that are being offered? In other words, do you see more courses being offered in geospatial intelligence or economic and climate sustainability? Is there more of a trend to truly look at a discipline versus what I would say is, I'm just going to train you in a specific piece of software, for example?
Well, I think we're starting to see a move from, let's just make sure you can get what my friend Mookie Hackley calls the GIS driver's license, meaning you can run the software, something more valuable. And that's happening more in the master's level, where maybe you don't get a master's degree in GIS, although of course you can. One of the new programs at the University of Florida is an online master's degree in urban and regional planning with a specialization in GIS and sustainability. So it's sort of being tacked on to fields where geospatial technology is already used, but it's not the technology is not the focus. And I think that's a really positive thing. You mentioned geospatial intelligence. The way to sort of measure that, I think, is still through the USGIS, which does have an accreditation program for degree programs in that field. And there are currently six, and I understand that there's one more that's being added to that group. And that's a pretty small number for a field that seems to need an awful lot of employees. Maybe it's slightly different from the general GIS space, where people really haven't heard of geospatial intelligence as much as they have about, hey, if I get a two-year degree in GIS, I can get a job.
Certainly the GEOINT specialty, I think, is certainly coming about. I think it's been a case where it's bubbled up to the forefront because of, in the last 10 years, all of the money being put into intelligence and intelligence reconnaissance and analysis. The USGF has sort of had to stand up these programs relatively quickly, get their act together with what is the curriculum that they want to put out there to support the universities that are offering these degree programs. You know, I think they've probably done a great job in a relatively short period of time in getting these accredited programs.
Let's be realistic about this. And I forget this too, and really didn't understand it until I was in the middle of it. And that's that to set up an actual degree, a new degree program within an institution of higher learning is non-trivial.
Right.
It's an awful lot of paperwork. A lot of people have to sign off on it. And that can be a multi-year process. And at Penn State, we just happened to be right on top of things in the sense of the question came up relatively early saying, do we want to have a GEOINT master's degree?
Right.
At Penn State, the advisory board, which I was on at the time, said, yes, we do, and went ahead and was one of the first group that got the accreditation from USGIF. But just because you say you want to have a degree in something doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. And that's caused some other things to happen in the education space that I think are very interesting. Okay, so the new hot thing in geospatial right now is UASs and UAVs, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so there actually is an institution of learning called Unmanned Vehicle University. And it offers actual degrees. It also offers short courses. And if you look at the faculty, these people have been doing this for years. But if you go and dig into the accreditation, it's not the accreditation that you would ever have heard of, and it's certainly not one of the higher level ones. On the other hand, you can get an institution like this up and running very quickly and try to exploit, and I use that respectfully, the demand for this kind of training.
Well, I think that's a great point, and we've put a link to that Unmanned Aero University in the show notes, so please take a look at that. And I thought that was a fascinating school from that standpoint, but it's reacting, as you said, to a real need. And as we can speculate, the UAS market is going to revolutionize the mapping market. It already has. In the U.S., we're just so far behind, we don't see what's going on around the world. But it really has changed the dynamic of mapping in many respects, and will do so very soon in the U.S. And having what little I've been involved in standing up a course on location intelligence at Penn State, I am amazed at the hoops you have to jump through to get through a discipline that you think would be a slam dunk in what is needed in the business world in terms of just educating people on how to use maps for a variety of disciplines in banking and retailing. It's not like we can do this overnight if we see that there's a demand. It does take an awful long time, which it's a deterrent, but that's the way it is.
Well, and that really circles back to that question that we asked at the outset, which is there value in waiting until there is a formal degree program and going through that versus self-educating and just, in a sense, teaching yourself via going to conferences, reading online, networking with people in the field, getting some internships on your own? That is so much more possible now than it ever was, that it has to be added into that that set of choices, which includes a formal degree.
Yeah, the individual has to be very entrepreneurial. Immediately, if he's without a job and he needs skills and training, he's got to go find something really, really quickly, and he's got to go get the training that he needs to get these jobs. And so they've had to look at alternative forms of education, if I will, and it may not be that the typical 4-year institution is providing that as well as it maybe once had. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to ask you, are you looking to ramp up your sales and close business faster? Geospatial webinars, a production of Directions Magazine and Earth Imaging Journal, have an average registration of over 500 attendees, making it an outstanding value. Our proven methodology has worked for clients such as Oracle, Google, Esri, Pitney Bowes, and many others. For more information, go to geospatialwebinars.com. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.